Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss out on some great low and slow barbecue tips and recipes. Hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're back, baby. Back in the big smoke. Couldn't be happier. Great trip, but gee, it's good to be back at the House of M's, where we reign supreme. I love it. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
How are you, Dave?
Welcome back,
good
my old friend.
See you in the flesh as well. Say it with some kind.
No, serious. It's been a long time since I've seen you guys face to face.
All right, then. Well, we'll discuss that in just a moment. Let's get into it. On today's show, well, Bruce Dickinson. That name mean anything to you? It does to the Triple M audience.
Oof, Iron Maiden frontman. I tell you what, I've been dying to talk to Bruce. I've got so many questions for him. I don't know where you start, but we've got him coming up. Stick around for that. Don't go anywhere. Yeah. I've got a fashion report for you, Mickey.
You've got a good fashion report. I'll be contributing something, some sad news to the fashion report. The demise of an institution.
You're right.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
We're going to talk food because there's been a big scandal in the wine industry. There's been a girl who's done something bizarre to chocolate chip cookies.
Yep.
And Coke, yet again, are trying to play with our minds and do something Coco Loco to their brand.
Remember Cherry Coke?
Or Vanilla Coke? Bye-bye.
The prosecution rests.
It's royal fever in this entire country. Their royal couple are in Melbourne today, and our man on the spot, our royal correspondent.
He loves the assignments we send.
Adam Rosenbach has been out.
He's seen
them. And isn't I think
he's
a royalist.
Yes.
Long term.
He's got Charles and Di biscuit tins.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, he's got a whole collection.
He loves The Crown. That's his favourite series.
He loves The Crown. And he actually stands out the front of his house wearing a big beef eater hat sometimes.
He's got a Prince Albert.
Has a changing of the guest.
We'll catch up with him. Whoa. We'll do that.
Royalty.
We will take your calls and your tweets and anything else you want to chat to
us
about.
You know it. We'll do
We're
it.
Here. We're your friends.
Have you cheated at something? We'll get to the bottom of that. That's all coming up. But welcome home.
Welcome back.
Jane Kennedy. Well done. Thank you to everyone up there at Yuendamoo and Red Dust. We learned so much. Had such a great time. It was brilliant. Having said that, it's obviously one of the aspects of the community. It's a dry community.
Yes,
meaning no grog.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Which is the way it should be.
Yes.
However,
that means for everyone, including us.
Okay.
At the end of maybe the third day. Let's just say, the native, we were getting a little restless.
I might have been.
Well, when we left and we went to the airport, it was a race to the airport bar. with pushing and shoving.
And Mick, you know what happened? We actually were going into
it was like Chariots of Fire.
Mick said in the car, Jane, I don't want to upset you, but we were going to go to the Qantas Club. He goes, I have a feeling they don't open the bar till midday. And I said, what? What are you talking about? It's 9:30. What? That's all right. I will go with real people at the bar, which we did.
And we did.
I bought you a couple of beers.
You did. And
we toasted too.
And everything was right in the world again. It was fantastic. Now, Sandy, how long have we been away?
Well, it seems like bloody ages.
Since Sunday, I think.
What's happened in their office? Someone's got a new desk.
Oh.
That it's seriously.
God.
You'd need planning permission from the council to.
I could hardly walk in the door. James,
it's like a DJ concert.
One of our young producers. It is. He's set up on his desk. You know these fandangle things where you stand up to use your computer.
Stand up desk.
But it's multi-layered and it's huge.
He'll need to stand on a box.
Yes. Well, Jill, one of our producers, got an injury from it already.
Has she?
Trying to walk past to her desk, she got clocked on the arm.
It's massive.
What, James?
What are you doing?
It's an installation.
It's a real look at me kind of operation, isn't it?
What's the generation James is in? What do you call that?
Sub-millennial. I think it's doofus.
Generation doofus.
Generation
sounds about right.
Bonkers. Generation bonkers.
What else has been? Royal fever around near my house. Actually, there was people.
Is it though, Jane?
It is. Listen, you've been cranky because we've been talking about clothes in the office.
So there's three girls in our office at the moment.
I've
had to put up with about an hour and a half of royal fashion chat.
You love it. You do, and you've got nice comments when you like you. You do.
What did
like
I say? What was my comment?
No, you've got.
What did I say?
No, you just appreciate.
Did I contribute?
Yeah, you did a bit.
Oh, jeez.
Until you got bored with it. No, we're talking about
Megan. I put my bachelorette theory out, and then I got shut down.
We're not going to talk about that.
Can we?
Bachelorette has not been doing well.
Yeah.
Oh.
I sort of predicted it because, you know, we want to squeal people. She's been on too many times. We diverted there.
And Bruce Dickinson, by the way, this is going to be great. I'm looking forward to that chat with him. What I love is how fans grow older with the band. And I remember once, the last time Iron Maiden played in Australia, I was driving down the road and directly opposite the arena they were playing at were these blokes standing outside the pub, and I reckon they're 50, mid-50s.
Sounds about
But they've somehow crawled into their old Iron Maiden gear. Yeah. And it was the funniest look you've ever
seen. A bit squeezy.
These big kind of fatty, pot-bellied, middle-aged, graying hair, thin hair. But they're still going, we're going to the Iron Maiden concert.
So good.
All right.
That's
Number
funny.
Of the Beast. What a great record. So Bruce Dickinson in the second hour going to join us. Big show on the way. We're all here thanks to Barbecues Galore, where some things are better low and slow.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Time for our fashion
Lights,
report.
Models, guest list.
I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Kennedy Molloy.
Ooh,
I could have been a male model. I could have been a male model, I reckon, in my younger days. I would have.
Since
just,
when?
The catwalk would have been my natural habitat. I would have sauntered down, given a little bit of this. Hello, girls. And then motored on that back up.
Let me just think. Yeah, no, male models are pretty, you know.
Svelte.
But I was going to say sort of brainless.
Well, that's, do you know what?
Wow.
That's, is that sexist?
It is.
A unfair.
And racist. Awesome. I don't know how, but
racist.
It's well, got a bit of everything, that one.
I was trying to
think
of
Zoolander.
Did
Mel B punch a male model?
Yep.
Right. And then had sex with him?
Probably.
Because she likes sex a lot.
She really does. But
she could be the next Bachelorette.
No. Well, she's got one of, what did they, she's a sex addict.
Is she?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the go-to.
Tell me about it.
Hey, hang on. Well, we're not talking about sex. This is my fashion report.
Just wish I could get someone else involved. All right. What are you doing?
I'm going to talk to you about the vulva scarf.
I beg your pardon.
What?
I'm lowering the tone. I've taken you to a bad place. The what?
Oh, this
the
is,
where what? What?
It's so funny. Fendi, the fashion brand has a 750-pound scarf on their online website.
Right.
And the way that it looks is rather unfortunate because they've designed...
What's that?
They've designed a fur trim shawl that bears an uncanny resemblance to...
a vagina.
Yep. And I'm just going
to... A big one. Look.
Well,
look at that.
Yeah,
and from the look of it, I'd say it's from the early 80s.
It is because probably, that's the fur line.
Probably needs some waxing. Look at that.
It needs a fair amount of waxing.
Brazilian.
And I'm saying that scarf.
It seems to be reasonably excited, that scarf. Seems to be in a highly excitable state.
I'm also going to add
I'd like to know how it got there.
That scarf.
Tell me, how does it, how do you do that?
That scarf has had at least 20 children.
Time to go cesarean, Fendi.
Let's get the cesarean scarf out stat.
Jane, can I ask you? Did it occur to anyone?
Be very careful how you ask this. What?
Imagine
what do you want to know?
Imagine a male model without the catwalk. It looks like she's giving birth.
It's really bad. Can we put it on our website?
Jeez. We will. We'll put that on Instagram.
It's gone viral because people have gone.
I don't say that.
Fendi.
What, herpes? What is it?
I'm sorry. It's really shocking. It's
Fendi is a very good fashion house, is it not?
Totally.
So why?
Misdirected.
Would they not at some point someone go, is it just me or is that like a...
Someone said on the website, I feel like this will be in the clearance section for a long time.
Wow. That's so good.
Someone said, is there a woman alive who wants to walk around with a hairy vagina scarf around their neck? Asked one other.
All right. Jeez, Fendi, I can see. I don't think they're going to be selling like hotcakes.
Okay.
Okay,
now,
can I move on to sad
news?
Yes,
you've got sad news.
Roger David Menswear has gone into administration.
Oh, no.
Ending a seven-decade menswear empire. And Roger David's been there for...
Yeah.
Well, it's outlasted Fletcher Jones.
Yes.
That's terribly sad.
Apparently, there's still a Fletcher Jones
around there? There's
somewhere.
A few?
Okay.
Yep. Opal, outlasted Opal.
Opal Remember menswear. Opal? Yes,
Opal
I do.
Menswear.
Yeah.
How was it? So there you go. Roger David gone under inadministration. Couldn't they have just hung on for the spring carnival?
Yeah.
Come on.
Time to shine.
Every man needs a suit for the spring carnival.
But is this an online thing? Is this because everyone shops online now?
I think
now?
So. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the front of the Frankston Magistrates Court is never it's never going to feel the same again. That was like fashions on the court for the fashions of the field.
True.
For Peter Jackson will be nervous. Mm.
Do you know what I'm suspecting, though? This is a question to all the men out there.
Yeah,
well. I don't know. In here in this office, I get all my deliveries. If I buy something online and I see heaps of girls with boxes on their desks, I've not seen guys buying clothes off the internet. Is that something you guys would do?
No.
It interferes with your porn time. Like, you can't
you're
do...
on a roll today, aren't you?
You can't do everything. You
but
know what I mean? You...
Dave, can I ask you?
No, I would walk into a shop and try it on. I don't
I'm
like
guessing
the idea
that's what men want to do.
Oh, okay. Well,
I used to work in menswear.
Of Queer Eye for,
you worked in menswear?
I was Maya menswear. Yes, I did.
Oh, I'm surprised they haven't gone bust. I bet you've had a fair bit to do with Roger David over the years.
Well, that is
what
sad.
Were you doing in menswear?
I was a sales assistant for after school. So when I
and
finished,
what would you do? Hello, come in, sit down. Oh, that suits
we
you.
We had the five steps of selling.
What were the five steps?
Warmly greet the customer, establish the customer's needs, select and present the benefits of the merchandise, close the sale, sell out on merchandise. Bang!
And then lie your ass off and say it looks good. Oh, you still remember that? It's been indoctrinated.
All right, what
into
else
you.
Have you got?
Well, I'm going to just touch on Megan very quickly.
Yeah.
Yes?
Should we? I tell you what, why don't we hold it?
That's because, a good idea.
You
well,
know,
I'll talk about
I've
it with
heard you guys in the office, and you can't stop once you start. So we should.
Good idea.
Let's go to a song. Ads, what right. are we doing?
Yeah, we're going to a commercial break, and we're going to come back soon with our royal update.
All right.
As well.
Okay,
Rosie.
Good idea.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Look at all this food.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I like food.
That is f- disgusting.
Kennedy Malloy's food news.
Eat it. Just eat it.
Food news, you say?
I do have food news.
Right, all right. It's all unorthodox, right. But I'll allow it.
All right. When you think of a cookie, the ingredients of a cookie, you think chopped chip and...
Sure.
You think...
A dough.
Yeah, or a wagon wheel.
Wagon wheel.
Marshmallow, jam.
Sure. Oh.
What about the remains of your grandparents?
Oh.
No, wouldn't have thought so.
Well, at least 9 students have eaten cookies that a girl made that apparently contain the ashes of her grandma.
Right, okay. Now... Question, how does that occur? Is this a deliberate thing or is this an accident?
I believe it was deliberate.
Happened?
I believe this girl, now we don't know whether she's bullied, we don't know what the story is, but she decided to just delve into the jar of grandma on the fireplace, probably, and a little bit of a sprinkling, added it and then handed them out to kids at school and they all chowed down on them. And then she said, oh, by the way, guess what? My grandma.
You just ate my gran.
Yep. Oh. The police are investigating.
How'd that go down?
Yeah, probably not great. Yeah. I was saying there's a police are involved. Yeah, no, it didn't go down well.
But what's the harm? I mean, Gran's
well,
dead.
No, yep.
You're having a laugh. It could have been worse. You could have been given a crusket. Well, let's be honest.
It's
I would rather
plain.
Have a Gran. What are they calling them? Ash browns?
Yeah, that's what it is.
An ash cookie?
Wow.
One of those. Point me in. That is...
It's really... That's a bit sick, isn't it? That's
is she a girl
weird.
Guide? Imagine if she was a girl guide. She would have got everyone. Have a cookie. The girl guides are stuff now.
Well...
What do they call it now? Responsible serving of food or food... Do you need a food handling? I couldn't believe this when I went to a fete recently.
Oh.
When I went to a fete...
Oh,
you,
my God.
You just get a toffee.
Yep.
Everyone would make a plate and you'd say there'd be a toffee and there'd be, you know, toffee apples and everything.
Yeah.
Nothing. It had to all be wrapped and had to have a certificate on it.
And had to have all the ingredients.
What the...
So when I bake for our school fete, I've gone out and put all the ingredients, like packet cake mix. What I write on the front.
Right. Wow.
And then go figure it out yourself.
You do the sums.
You do the sums.
Go speak to White Sand or whatever.
Yeah, White.
All right. Hey,
that's
hey.
That first report.
Right, sure.
Next one.
What do you got?
Coca-Cola, they sometimes make us very upset.
They've got too much spare time on their hands down there at the Coca-Cola factory.
Just stick to what you do.
Just give us the Coke and
real
give us
Coke,
the Coke
fake
Zero.
Coke. Coke Zero. That's what we want. Now,
don't mess with the classics.
All right. There's plenty of caffeine in Coca-Cola. We know that. They're going to blow your minds now because they're going to make coffee Coke.
Oh, my God.
Double whammy.
I'm just
going to
put some Coke in my coffee.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Mm. Instead of milk.
It is. It's for the adult palate, apparently. And you know what I think it is?
What?
It's a mixer. That's what it's going to be used for. Coffee Coke will be used. They'll just add a bit of body, bit of something, bit of tequila.
Sell it to the kids. Kids are going to love it.
This is going to end in tears.
That'll go well with the grandma cookie.
It's all getting.
You can dunk your grandma cookie into the top of your coffee coke and have a go. Why would they do that? Have they explained what they're up to?
This is what the PR line always
is. Don't get disappointed in me.
No, I know. I'm folded my arms.
Yeah, I know.
This is what PR people say about everything when there's change, which is rubbish, I reckon. We're always responding to people's changing tastes and preferences. The people have asked for it. Not me.
No, they haven't.
I'll have a coffee, then I'll have a Coke.
Just want my friggin'
Coke.
Not
together.
Yep.
Can I give you my conspiracy theory of why Coke Zero has no longer on our shelves and been replaced by Coke No Sugar?
Yeah.
I have no evidence for this, of course. I would suggest this will be one of those massive scandals. I reckon there was something in there that was no good for us. And it hasn't been detected yet.
Oh,
and
like they've gone,
our testing's coming back. This is not good.
So quick sticks, let's take it out.
Get rid of the...
Nobody say a word.
Let's call it cyanide.
Don't want a class action.
Don't want a class action. Make it go away. Sub it out. Why would you... You're on a winner. You're on a big winner there.
I agree.
Everyone loved this.
I'm still calling it Coke Zero.
I refuse to call it Coke Zero. Still on the glory days. Hey, okay, quickly.
Yep.
A teenager, we're still doing food news, has been accused of shooting his cousin after an argument about salt and vinegar potato chips.
See,
that escalated quickly.
Wow.
I'm not laughing.
Why?
Because when you want your salt and vinegar chips, I know there's a lot of fights in a minor.
It's his cousin. He knew the rules. He warned him. He said, don't touch my salt and vinegar chips. And he's gone again. So Cuz has pulled out a shotty and gone, oh, waggity waggity.
It was a hunting rifle, Mick.
Well,
that's pretty powerful.
There's a packet of chips involved. And I tell you what, if you came for my burger rings,
I can't say
what I would do.
Well, you'd eat my fingertips off. That's what you would do. I can see you doing
that. I would burn your house to the ground if you took one of my burger rings. That's the way I roll.
I believe it. Oh, well, that's our food news.
So, let's ask a question, though, on the relationship to the salt and...
salt and vinegar.
What have you done? What would you crack it at? Like something minor, what could drive you to those...
I know my food at the moment in our household, someone might have a pizza and they label it and they go, I will kill you if anybody takes this piece of pizza. Like it's,
well,
and people do.
Yeah.
People take, and then it's just all hell breaks loose.
It doesn't have to be food. It could be what would you crack? I'll tell you what
I crack it at.
So when I've got people stay at my house, if they sit where I sit on the couch, so you'll come around, I'll come around the corner and
I'm going to do that.
It's like my world is...
Let's turn upside down.
Well, someone can't sit on your seat.
Well, not the bit I sit on.
It's a bit childish, isn't it?
I've got my bit. It's not childish.
What, you shoot someone over that.
Look at you. You just look childish then.
I would kick someone out of my house. I would go, well, you've got to go.
Well, because they're sitting in your seat.
Yep.
Whoa.
Okay.
How about you, Dave?
I can't wait to do
that. I was just thinking about the food. Like, I'm a real cheesels lover, and I could eat a whole box because I don't think they're big enough, to be honest. Once you delve into the cheesels, hands off. Get your fingers out.
You leave a little yellow paw prints all over.
Everywhere.
Get the shoddy out.
Yeah.
Hey, give us a call, 133353, or if you want to reflect on anything we've just talked about, get involved. Why don't you crack it over?
Yeah. Food dramas.
Don't get me started on the cherry ripes.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
The great Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden soon. Adam Rosenbarks will be here with his royal update as well.
He's a royal nut.
Is he?
He loves it.
Then what wouldn't have thought that?
No, he's a big Prince Philip fan.
He poo-poos.
Tried to suck Fergie's toes once. Yeah, he did.
No, he thinks the whole Republican movement sucks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, he's a weird guy.
He's
lucky to be alive, frankly. But
well.
Get into that.
Yeah.
We are talking about a bloke who shot his cousin because he messed with his salt and vinegar chips. Fair call, I say.
Yeah.
He was warned. You do it again.
That's right. He's taken
his chips. He's gone and got a hunting rifle and unloaded it. It got us thinking, well, have you ever cracked it? Has it escalated quickly over something relatively minor that just gets on your goat? Nathan, you're on the line. Nathan, what is it for you, mate?
Yes, how you going, guys and girls? Just heard about it on the radio. Got so angry about it, I had to tell you. I'm a teacher in Sydney, and the kids ruined the end of a movie for me. Put them all on detention. Cracked it hard.
That is absolutely, I totally understand. Spoiler alert is honestly one of the most hideous things that people can do.
I
can't stand it.
I agree.
I've been known to wait out the front of cinemas.
I've used
just
the people are going in. Oh, Jesus.
No, kids aren't allowed to do that. Fail them.
Right, that's it. All right. Yeah, that's it. You are. You don't like it. Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, what is it, buddy?
My pizzas used to get eaten at work by the other nurses. They constantly stole them. So I wrote on the box, I've spat on this. And
on a
someone
pizza?
Wrote back, yeah, someone wrote back, so have I. I'm sort of stymied. But I hate it anyway.
Oh, you've been outsmarted.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's it. So that was like a communal fridge. And
yep.
Yes.
And I wouldn't put anything, I wouldn't eat anything that's
but
emerged
see,
from
here.
Our fridge
They're
at Triple
chock-a-block.
R.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like that thing at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You open the fridge and you get blinded by
That's
the
evil spirits. Mark. I feel your pain.
We call an exorcist to clean our fridge. It's unbelievable.
Olivia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, Olivia, what's your beef? What do you hate it when people do?
So I have a jar of Nutella in the cupboard and I've moved it into my bedroom because my brother, he'll just go at it. I'll come home and he'll just be spinning Nutella out of my jar. Like, I just have the biggest tantrum ever. I'm 24 and I don't care.
You're 24 and I don't care. It's my Nutella.
No one touches your Nutella.
Has he found it since you've placed it in your room?
No, not yet, but I won't tell you in case he's listening.
So. What you are doing, though, I should point out, is encouraging your brother to go through everything in
That's
your room.
That's what I was thinking.
So I'd be very careful.
Yeah. Well, look, he doesn't like my underwear, so I might hide it in there.
Right. Hide your diary.
Why don't you fill it with Vegemite? That'll teach him.
Vegemite too.
yeah.
All right, Olivia. Well done. Tell your brother to calm the farm. Lee, what gets you cranky, mate?
It wasn't me. It was my little brother.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there one day and his mate walked past and grabbed his smokes. So Glenn says, because the smoke's back, his mate carried on running, so he pulled out a 22 and shot him in the left butt cheek.
What are you talking about?
well, he had that coming.
Yeah.
That's a warning shot. A buttock shot's a warning shot.
Is it?
Hey, come on.
I would have thought in the ground might have helped.
Lee, some people think that might be extreme, but as a smoker from time to time, I'm not encouraging it, by the way, but botting cigarettes is no longer as much fun as it used to be. Can I have a cigarette, mate? Well, no, really. No, because that's costing me a lot of money. He could bot. You know, I've got friends who go out and they pretend they don't smoke.
Oh, yeah, I know
those
people.
So they end up just smoking all your cigarettes all day. It's an expensive business, let me tell you.
Next time we'll take a shotty out.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, why don't you?
Put the
cigarette down, mate.
Down.
Thanks, Lee, for the call. Now. Hello, Hayden.
How you going?
Yeah, good.
Nicky?
Yeah, good, mate. What's going on? What gets you cranky enough to, like, take a piece out of your cousin?
Mate, I'm with you. If someone sits in my table, in my seat while I'm trying to have dinner, mate.
Yeah, I get this a lot. I think it's like...
If a guest comes for dinner and you've got your special seat...
Well, you shouldn't have to put name tags out at your own house.
Well, how are we supposed to be mind readers and know that's your fancy chair?
Well, just wait to be asked, where should I seat? Instead of just plonking yourself at the head of the table.
Why don't
like you do
your job as a host and say, hey, Jane, you can sit here.
That's why I don't invite people around for dinner, quite frankly.
Help us if we sit on your bloody couch.
I sit there on my own with the lights out.
So sad.
Waiting for Uber Eats.
You're sad.
Sharon, what happened? What gets you cranky?
Hi, Jane, Rick and Dave. I've got two boys, and as you can imagine, Jane, two boys, they eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And every fortnight I go do the food shopping and I buy a treat for my husband, myself, my two boys, which is this little chocolate bar.
Nice.
And every fortnight, I swear to God, I always leave mine until the last, and every time I go to get it,
Sharon.
Sharon.
This is easy. Yeah,
rookie mistake with two boys.
Listen. You are not to buy treats for anyone else in the house. Hide yours and go and go. So I'm just going to the toilet. Go and have a nibble in the bathroom.
I have actually done that.
There
I've
you go. Problem
moved
solved.
It into another room. So I don't know where it is.
I'd be careful with my boys. So when I've got them and stuff, because I always love breakfast in the morning, obviously. And if I'm kind of sleeping in, they'll come and go, come on, Dad, breakfast time. Mm. And if they don't come for a while, I'll go, okay, they've found something. They're into something. What the hell have they got? Anyway, there you go. Okay, that's all we've got time for, I'm afraid, right
thanks
now.
Thanks for your call.
Loads of good calls. Sorry we didn't get to you if you're on the line. When we come back,
it's Royal Update time.
Royal Update time.
Adam Rosenbach
Triple
next.
M style.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
The best part about visiting Australia is the people. Honest,
hardworking and as tough as they come.
Rosie's Royal Update.
Well, if there's anybody I could think of to go and cover the royal tour, that would be me. Because I was not available, we've decided to send our good friend Adam Rosenbach to go and do it. Hello, Rosie. How are you?
I'm very well, Jane.
Rosie.
You were very excited when we potentially said we'd love you to go and cover
Huge
this.
Fan of you.
You love the Royals. You used to have a poster of Louis Mountbatten on your wall as a kid. Yeah,
I love
you?
That. I love that chick on the coins. I'm a big Royals.
Chick on the coins.
Queenie.
Yes.
Oh,
the Queen. So you do. So listen, what we sent, we couldn't be there. There's a royal tour in progress. So we're going to go to Dubbo, Fraser Island,
Sydney, Melbourne.
And Melbourne.
Yep.
So, I saw the itinerary and I was like, Fraser Island, that's got to be the one where you're going to see me. Because, you know, you get to see the wildlife and, you know, see them cuddle some koalas, get some chlamydia, that sort of stuff. Have a bit of fun. But no.
What was your first stop?
Didn't go to Fraser Island. I went to Dubbo.
Dubbo!
Yes, a
big
shout
hello
out to
everyone, listening in Dubbo.
They were
paint
excited.
The picture for us. Dubbo, you get to town.
So I got to town. I was staying at the Fountain View Motel on Cobra Street.
That would have been costing us a fortune.
I know.
Was it a hotel motel or a hotel?
Just motel. Just motel.
Did the bed vibrate? Could you book it by the hour?
You definitely could book it by the hour. It was called the Fountain View because there was a park across the road and obviously you had views to the fountain, but the local kids had vandalised it so much that they removed the fountain.
So it's Fountain View with no view of a fountain.
There's no fountain.
I love that.
No.
That's great.
So that was the start that I had. So I was there on Tuesday in the lead up to the big day, which happened yesterday, of the you know, Harry and Meg's coming along. And so Wednesday morning...
Meg's, are you allowed to call her Meg's? Is that okay?
She's happy with anything at the moment.
Big H, Megs. I think that's okay.
Megs.
All right, go for it. Seems a bit casual for me, but.
So Wednesday was the big day. Tuesday wasn't much. They were setting up. Wednesday, everyone started getting there early. I went for a wander through the park at about 7:30, and the diehards were getting there. These were people.
They have chairs and.
They had chairs. Yeah.
These are the people who queue up early for concerts, right?
Yes.
To get the. So,
these are the people who are still angry that, you know, King Edward VIII had to came. Like they are rusted on.
Never gotten over it.
I'm guessing they're the more mature Australians.
It was basically either primary school children or 1,000-year-old people. Like that's who it was. And and they weren't happy that I scalped them the tickets because it wasn't even a ticketed event. So it took them a little while to work that out. I'll tell you what, though. If you're a primary school teacher in Dubbo over the last week, this has just been a week off, isn't it?
Right.
Totally. So
you got nothing to...
The kids are out.
School projects, easy.
Exactly.
Make decorations. Yeah. Easy.
What would you do for Harry and Kate? What would you cook them? You know, Harry and Meg's. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. It was just a week off. So every primary school in the area, every child was there. So there was about 2,000 screaming, crazy-ass kids there.
You were relaxed amongst that?
It was high-pitched.
Yeah, okay.
To put it mildly.
So they finally arrive.
Well, it was the picnic in the park, So basically, they said they were going to be there at 12:30. Everyone, you know, around 12:30, you go, okay, they're not quite coming
along. If you tell me
they're
late, I'll be furious.
Well, they were late, and as people realised that they were going to be late, a storm started rolling in.
Yes.
So it was a big storm. We could see lightning in the distance, and the thing was, no one could complain about it because they were so desperate for rain.
There's a drought.
There's a drought.
Oh, yes.
They're out there to have a look at the drought-ravaged country.
Yeah. So no one could complain, and you could see that they were starting to pad. So there was a platform in the middle, and you know there was an MC, and he's going, "All right, we're gonna get the choir back up." And you could just see people in the distance.
Not
going,
another one from
get
the
on
choir.
With it.
Yeah, it was like, "I'll bring on the royals." And I was like,
these
poor kids are just out there to sing their song. Then people started popping up umbrellas, and they were instructed, "Don't bring an umbrella." And that again. Started people getting angry. So everyone was getting really, really tense.
I love a riled up royal crowd. Anything could happen.
So then eventually we knew they were coming.
What time did they get there?
So they got there about 1:45.
That is terrible.
Wow.
You've got one job. You've got one job, and that's to turn up. All you got to do is wave as you go past.
What kind of
prep was going on
there? Well, she's got a trial of dresses on because now she looks in the mirror and she goes, "Did this make me look fat?" Yeah, a little, because you're 12 weeks pregnant. You know, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's why they were late? Just because she couldn't find something that didn't make her look fat.
Yeah.
That's why she came out in a poncho. Is that...
in a big jacket.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've
arrived.
Her sister
would have made it.
Don't you even mention her terrible sister.
I prefer her sister. She's hot.
You do not. She's not hot.
The crazy one. Yeah.
No. Sorry, she's Adam. Great.
No, that's okay. Just with their arrival, so they came down one street and then turned into the street that they were going to, but one kid spotted the motorcade to begin, and then set off like 500 kids just bolting.
Oh, they dashed.
Yeah, just bolting for this street. Yeah, and all the teachers are going, you can't go that way, and they're just running like little madmen.
And so it's then like the running of the school children. In
yeah, it was. You got to get out of their way. So then Harry and Megs came out. By this stage, the rain was coming in sideways.
Oh no!
So people are making runs for the trees. There's lightning around.
Bedlam in Dubbo.
Yeah, yeah. It was absolute pandemonium. Anarchy. One teacher had lost a child, so she was in tears. It was
bedlam.
It was absolute mayhem.
This is great.
So they eventually come out, and so then everyone was just making a rush for the fence. So too bad if you're 400 years old and you're at the front. Like I was standing on.
Are you trampling on old people?
I was standing on rugs, children, food, everything. Scones were going left, right, and centre. And I got a few really good shots of them.
Great.
The one thing though, it was really dark and stuff. I know that she's all about fashion, but a bit of high vis. Would not have gone astray.
It was hard to spot. Right. Hey, will you come back and continue this because we're fascinated to
know. Did you bring us a gift? Hang on, mate. Sorry, just quickly. Did you bring us a gift?
I got the last four cans of Dubbo Royale. So they had a special beer.
What is that?
It's a special beer they coined for their tour. And I managed, they supplied these for you, Mickey.
Were there six? Because there seemed to be only four there.
No, these were the last four.
What's happened, Rosie?
But
on the way.
They're in my
stock take here.
They're in my luggage. And knowing Australia's baggage handlers, I probably wouldn't open them. I'd let them settle a little bit.
Let them fizz.
Yes.
All right, come back. We're going to talk some more with Adam Rosenbarks after this. Here we go.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
With our royal correspondent Adam Rosenbarks in studio. Some great photos coming through, by the way, which we'll share from Adam's royal visits on our Instagram and Twitter at Kennedy Malloy.
We got him to send those just as proof he was actually there. This little baby that she's carrying, do you think it'll be as evil as George?
Well, George is not evil.
George is
the most evil boy I've ever seen.
He's just burnt something down, hasn't he?
He has burnt something down.
Yep.
Shave his head. There'll be letters in the back there somewhere. He will grow up to annihilate an entire country or civilization.
Oh, you reckon more colonisation on the way?
George is, trust me, I said it first, he's an evil little...
He is adorable.
He's a sweetheart.
He is a sweetheart.
He is not. He's like like the Hitler Youth. He looks like.
Yeah, you can't trust kids in suits.
There is some blood. There's some blood in that.
I know
area.
There is.
Now, speaking of which, we are so happy to have you in because you had a bit of a fright. I'm not going to be overly dramatic here, but it was a little down the serious end of the pool, and we were genuinely concerned for you at one stage. Can you tell us what you've been through?
Well, I basically had a touch of golden staff was what I came down with.
See, that's not something that you're really... No. First of all, you don't hear it bandied around a lot.
No.
And it's difficult to get.
Yeah, well, it'd be a good name for a beer.
Golden staff.
Golden staff. Mother's
maybe not.
Golden staff. Good name for a horse.
But you didn't know you had golden staff when you fell ill, did you?
No, how'd you get it?
I'd been at the gym and I thought I'd hurt myself at the gym. I did 110 burpees in one session and they were all like, well, you need to go to a psych hospital, not a normal hospital. And so I thought I'd hurt my back.
Right.
And I rode it out for like 5 days. And then by the Sunday, I was like, I'm in absolute agony. So I went to the hospital and they went, you've got some sort of infection. And we need to check you out. And so it turns out I had an infected vertebra, which gave me an abscess pushing on my spinal cord.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It's not cool. Yeah. And they were quite concerned. In fact, they put you in an isolated ward and they treated you. And they were pretty keen to... They wanted to get it before it got to your spine. Is that what they're saying? Or
well, basically they said...
That's all over Red Rover?
Yeah, they said I may not, walk if it gets any worse. And at one point I was in like 10 out of 10 pain. Like I haven't given birth, but it was much worse than anything that you've gone through, Jane. Not that it's a competition.
I'm going to let you have this moment in the sun. Go ahead.
At one point when the doctors are in there, I asked for a coma.
Right, because it was a better alternative to going through the pain you were going through.
An induced coma
to get through it.
And I said that. I said, can I have a coma? And they're like, no, we can't.
I need that when I've got, a flu.
You're always asking for that.
Induce me, doc. Induce me. I can't put up with it anymore.
We are thrilled that you got through it. Was it literally a batch of antibiotics? And what do they do to just...
Yeah, so I was on antibiotics. I was on so much morphine. I was on a ketamine drip for 2 days. So
you were doing tweets and Instagram postings. You do realise through that time, which was very amusing. I'm not sure. You might want to go back and check some of those.
Ketamine and morphine, I find unregulated.
Yes. I was on a ketamine drip, so it's on, like in a big syringe, and it slowly pushes in as it's going through your system. And when they took me off that, they just pushed it all in, down the sink. And I said to the nurse, who was quite young, I was like, do you know what that would be worth at Paul's
on the street?
Yeah, and she said, that's why there's two of us, because, you know, people were knocking it off.
People were knocking it off. Had you ended up not being able to walk, we still would have sent you to Dubbo. You would have been doing it.
You would have got a really good spot.
You would have done it on an iron lung. At one stage, I thought we were going to lose you. You know what I started thinking about?
What?
I'm going to have to be really funny at the funeral because all the comics will be there.
Mick.
No, no, because you think about it. There's a lot of pressure attached to that. You know, he's got the easy job. But if you have to talk in his, because they'll all be there.
I know.
And everyone's funny. You know,
you don't want to make it too sad, too funny is the fine line.
You're going for laughs.
And I would have made sure you put my ashes in cookies and handed them out.
I reckon that started a thing. Why don't they do that? Thank you, Rosie, so much for helping us cover the royal tour.
We'll have to think of another place to send you, maybe. Mm. So you've got any ideas?
Hawaii? Are they going to Hawaii anytime soon?
Sounds good. Over to you, Dave.
Coming up next, the great Bruce Dickinson.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Sure is, and we've got a very special guest coming up in just a moment. But I will be asking the question of you, Australia. Have you been caught cheating? Add anything we need to know, we'll inform you later.
This is inspired by cheating in wine tasting, believe it or not.
There's something's on the nose in the sommelier circles.
It's a great story.
It's a scandal. You need to hear this. You'll be tipping you.
You will. We might have some more royal, I've got to get out my thoughts on Megan's frocks and what she's wearing at the moment.
It's dominated
very important.
Most of your conversation.
Especially
today.
For Triple M audience.
It's dominated.
It is.
It seems to be on your mind.
We will take your tweets and your Facebook inquiries.
You're winding me up.
I'm not winding you up.
I was on for a chat then.
Were you? Sorry. I'm too excited because we have someone very special standing by, Dave.
Our next guest is a bit of an underachiever.
Radio broadcaster, novelist, craft beer brewer, commercial airline pilot, if you don't mind, and was, at one time, an internationally ranked fencer.
Oh, and also just sold a lazy 125 million albums with Iron Maiden. Bruce Dickinson has certainly lived a life, whether it's playing gigs in war-torn Sarajevo.
There were no flak jackets, no helmets, no UN, no helicopters. It was just 5 days that seemed to be a lifetime.
Or asking, what does this button do while flying the band around in their 747?
It's a joke amongst pilots. It's what Airbus pilots are constantly asking themselves.
He's here in Oz to tell a million more stories about a very packed life and answer a few questions.
Did you have to see a vocal coach? If so, what did you teach him?
Please welcome Bruce Dickinson.
Yes,
oh, wow.
Bruce.
Hello.
I speak for everyone and every man I know when I say, can you settle down, mate? You're making us all look bad. Yeah, calm the farm.
Calm down. One thing at a time.
That's it.
And for every woman I know, Bruce, we're going, hello, Bruce.
Yeah, you're a good catch, Bruce.
Dig a deviant in the balcony.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Kennedy Molloy. It's great to have you here. And we are, of course, going to speak with you about your autobiography. Have people tried to write many biographies of you before?
There's been one or two, but they're just a collection of sort of press articles and things. They've just kind of cobbled them together. Nobody's actually asked me about my thoughts on my life, you know. So they just kind of appear and people go, oh, somebody's written a biography. I went, oh, very good, okay, whatever.
Yeah, good luck to you on that one. Yeah.
And how'd you write it? What was the process? I don't see you sitting down in a smoking jacket with a leather feather quill. How did you do it?
That's what I did. That's what I did.
In between fencing bouts.
You've nailed it.
No, except it wasn't a quill. It was kind of like a biro.
But you did handwrite it.
I handwrote it on W.H. Smith's...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there you go, plug. There's the special paper, huh? No, so it was their little A4 pads, and when I went to this sort of publisher's meeting, when they said, oh, come on down and meet all these people who are going to distribute your book, blah, blah, blah. So I turned up. And they were showing me around, and they said, and the W.H. Smith guys were there as the distributor, and they said, oh, yeah, we hear you. You're writing it on your on the pad. Is it true? And I had like three of them in my bag, and I pulled them out. I said, yeah, look, here it is. And the publisher, he just went white. He was like, that's it? I went, yeah, that's it. That's a copy? I went, no, that's the original. And he goes, you're carrying around the original in London? Yeah. That, I said, yeah, you know, nobody's going to, who's going to steal a, who's going to steal a pad with scribbles on that, you know?
You'd never know. Did you have any trouble remembering bits? You've lived a good life. Was there any blank spots for you over the journey?
Yeah, but the clue to that was that there was nothing on the page. So,
you know, there's just fast tracks of blank
pages? Yeah, you
just
go running, you know, yeah, and this was 1983, right. And then there was just like five pages blank, and then you just like, you know, self-editing really, you know. It's
Hey, you've racked up quite a few achievements. We went through them. You've got a pilot's license. You took up fencing. Did you have a lot of spare time on your hands at certain stages in your career when you weren't touring and you just went, I think I'll do this. I think I'll take up ice sculpture.
No,
how did you decide these things?
Well, I mean, I was fencing since I was 14 years old.
Okay.
Was that from school when you're at school?
Yeah, it was from school. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to do boxing, and right. they didn't do boxing, and I did rugby, which was close. But then I got kind of too small for rugby because I stopped growing when I was like 15, 16, and everybody else continued.
How do you organise a fencing bout? Do you got someone you ring up? You say, let's go have a
two fence. Pointy sticks, two pointy sticks, and that's it. Off
that's
you go.
Your weapon?
You know, yeah,
and
choose,
a good white suit.
Yeah, choose your weapon, mate.
Your weapon.
No, a colander on your head, that'll do. Saucepan, anything, a couple of holes.
I like it. I'd want to see it with machetes.
You can take a lot of slices out of people before they actually expire, whereas with a pointy thing, you stick a pointy thing in, it goes in, it comes out. That's pretty terminal.
Bruce, we hang around, we'll go to a song.
We've got so much more to do.
And we've got lots to talk to you about after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Bruce Dickinson is our very special guest. By the way, tonight at the Enmore Theatre in Sydney, he will be performing as part of his What Does This Button Do? All around Australia, the Palais in Melbourne tomorrow.
Great theatre, you'll love that.
Sunday, the Llewellyn Hall in Canberra,
you'll
Newcastle,
like
Civic Theatre on Tuesday, and Eaton's Hill Hotel in Brisbane next Wednesday.
You've got it. We've got a copy of the book. Where's the juicy bits?
The touring. I think we love to find out what happens on the road.
What'd you do?
Have you opened up about Shane Warne has just written a book, The Cricketer, and has sort of been very honest about what's gone on the road.
His life, I'll tell you what, cricket and rugby tours are the most outrageous things you could possibly do on
the surely
on,
Iron
on
Maiden
God's
on
Earth.
Tour must be.
No, you put a car in a swimming pool, come on.
No, not. Not even close.
And you brew beer. This is what fascinates
Puts
me.
Puts a new spin on things.
I'm a beer brewer as well. How did you get into the craft?
First of all, I like beer.
All right, you're in.
It's a good stuff.
You've got the job.
Somebody came along and suggested, like a marketing type person, came along and had a meeting with the Maiden management people and said, let's do an Iron Maiden red wine. And we all looked a little bit weird and went, red wine, Iron Maiden, yeah, let me see. We're not quite getting the vibe here. Why don't we do a beer? Why don't we do a traditional English ale? Because we like that. And also, it's where we're from. It's us, you know. And the guy went, oh, yeah, yeah. So we'll just take a bottle of somebody's rubbish. I mean, a really good ale and put your label on it. I went, yeah, that's not really kind of what we had in mind. No, we wanted something that had a bit of integrity to it. At which point the guy lost interest. Mm. But we then thought, well, actually, it's not a bad idea. Maybe what we should do is approach some brewers and try and come up with a collaboration. And then 25 million pints down the line.
Jeez.
There it is. Well done. Well, I brew a beer called Brick Lane, which is going very well too. They said when I started...
What kind of beer is it?
Well,
is
there's a
good
beer? There's a pale ale and a lager at the moment.
Nice.
And they're both very good. Although when it was suggested I was going to run a brewery, they said that's like letting the mice run the cheese factory.
But I'm really interested in your lager as well, because lager is very difficult to do that with a different spin on it.
Well, this pours beautifully. That, to me, it's how it comes out of the tap. It tastes fine, but everything over here can end up...
Can I get hold of a couple of those?
Definitely.
Oh, you'll be.
Definitely.
I'll meet you at the airport.
We could actually devote the entire show to speaking with
you. Are you flying yourself, just quickly? Are you flying yourself around this tour? Did you fly out here? Did you do it or no? No.
They want to be. They said they were busy because they had somebody flying in the royal family. You know, so
if you run into, they bumped
me off the flight. They said, no, you can't do that one.
That's
in case you crash it. You know,
are you pleased with the reception that Megan and Harry have got? That's very buoyant.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Happy,
you know, I mean, good luck to him.
He's
good luck to him. He's good. He's good. He seems like a pretty decent bloke.
He does.
I knew his dad vaguely.
Oh yes,
I met him on a couple of occasions. Right. You know, yeah, he's an all right bloke. I was in his garden. talking to Prince Charles, and this was like a long time
ago.
Were you in your fencing gear?
I'm just trying to work out how you roll.
I can't tell you what I was wearing. You know, we got given a guided tour around the garden by Prince Charles around his garden, and it's an amazing garden.
Was the whole band there? I'm just imagining Iron Maiden being taken on a tour around the garden.
No, it was just me and I was talking to him and I said, are your kids big into climbing? Because he had some really big trees.
Yeah.
And one of my kids was really big into climbing trees and actually scared the living daylights out of me. He climbed this tree and I swear to God, he was like about 20 metres in the air and he was hanging on. He decided to hang off a branch by one hand.
Yeah.
And I'm going, just come down, just come down. And he's laughing at me going, yeah, Dad. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know. And so I said to Prince Charles, I said, do your kids some... Do they like climbing trees? He goes, oh, God, yes, they're always climbing trees. It's terrible things. He goes, they just fall out like wombats. You know?
You're an impressionist as well. A very fine one, Bruce. We wish you well.
Sorry, I can't wrap this up. Iron Maiden, what's happening? Anything on the horizon?
Oh, yeah, mate, loads of things. But if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
He'd stab me
with his fencing on.
All I can tell you is we're doing Rock in Rio on October the 4th next year, and something might happen in between, but who knows what?
Good luck with this book.
It's a ripper.
You read from it at these concerts. You stand up there and you read
from the book.
Do you do Q&A?
Oh, yeah. No, this is basically, the way to think about this is my life as stand-up.
Right.
Tonight at the Enmore Theatre.
That is it. ScreamForMe.com to buy tickets for that. The great Bruce Dickinson joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And awesome. I mean that about the beer. I would love to get a couple of bottles to the theatre.
I'll bring them in.
All right, mate.
We'll knock the top off.
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah. Cheers.
Hey, mate.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'll tell you what's something that you are interested in.
Oh, I know. This is a big story.
You're interested in wine?
I know. Don't mind a little wine.
You know a little bit about it.
Not quite as keen as you, but I do enjoy a good wine.
All right, I'm going to talk you through an amazing story that's happened in the world. There is something that you can achieve in the wine industry called the Master Sommelier.
This is the top, the elite, the top.
Absolutely.
Category.
Now, in the world, there is only 274.
Living.
Yes,
living
Master Sommeliers.
Master Sommeliers.
And the reason it's so difficult is that it is an incredibly hard exam to fulfill. It takes about 4 years to study for. You basically have to dedicate your entire life to it. Now, if you want to find out...
You need Yoda-style wisdom and understanding of wine.
Yes, you do.
There's three elements to it, isn't there?
There is. It requires sommeliers to blind taste... this is the one I reckon that gets people. Because you can blind taste and you go, oh, that's a Burgundy, that's a Grenache.
But you have to
pinpoint the exact place where it's from.
Yeah.
I've seen people go, that's from Canberra in Australia when they're in France.
And it's 75.
Oh,
and
God.
It's
so difficult that roughly only 5% pass the exam each year.
Yeah.
So it is only the very, very best.
What's your point?
This year, someone cheated. It was actually one of the judges passed on and gave a heads up to what some of the wines were. Now, this is an outrageous thing to happen. It's culminated in everybody who was going to pass. Everyone has to do it all again.
On average, 5 people pass this course per year because that's how tough it is.
Yes.
It's like there's only six
in Australia.
So 24 passed this year.
Yep.
Then they found out about the cheating, so they've just wiped everyone.
They've
said, you know what? Who cares? You start again. You sit
again. Got to start again.
Oh. Wow. It's a cheating scandal at the top end of the sommelier pool.
That's right. Now, in Australia, we have one woman who is a sommelier who's done it, Jane Lopez, from Attica, which is one of the top restaurants in the country. She's got to sit it again.
She's been caught up in this.
She's been caught up. She didn't cheat, but she's been caught up in it because that's what's happened. And I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to find out a little bit what this wine world is about, there's a fantastic documentary called SOM, S-O-M-M. Look it up. It's on iTunes or Netflix. Mm. It tells you how intense this world is. So we were talking about, wow, cheating. That's nuts.
That is nuts.
That's nuts. And you found out all the time.
If you find out that you were, that you had to sit your wine tasting again, that's not the worst thing in the world, is it? Oh, what?
Four years of your life.
Well, it's not 4 years. You just got to pass the test again. So you can just sit the test and go, all right, then, I will go and taste $50,000 worth of wine again.
I suppose of the, all the tests, you had like physics.
These ones where they just drink it and they spit it out. Is that how it rolls?
Well,
no, that's blackberry nip.
They've got to just have so much knowledge.
I've seen you do it with wine in a can. Like you can, in blind tasting, you can get, you can
tell. Well, I can tell the difference between a Sauvignon Blanc.
Which cannery.
I won't drink Sauvignon Blanc. I've said that before. That one I will spit out. Ooh, we'd like to know about
people
cheating.
Have you cheated? Is there any example of you cheating? Have you been?
Have you got away with it? Tell us what's happened.
It could be anything. I've been caught up in it. I'll get a couple. I got caught cheating at school in our cross country run, getting out of a cab. That is a true story. Getting out of the cab, looking rather fresh. I probably didn't do my homework. I probably shouldn't have got out that close to the school. The other one I did, which is not quite cheating, but it was, it is kind of, which was half of the pier to pub, the famous pier to pub. Yes. Everyone swims it.
Yep.
Then everyone goes back to the pub and they all sit around and they all tell the tales of the sea was angry today, my friend, and all that stuff. So what I did was I just grabbed a texter and put a number on my arm, like everyone else, and just sat at the bar going, oh, tell you what, I got a bit hairy out there today.
I like that. I have done it once.
What did you do?
I was working at a call centre. And you just have to say, yes, hello, it's Jane here from REARC Research. We just want to find, have a chat with someone. And people would just always hang up. No, I don't want to talk. Just stop bothering me. It's dinner time. So I might have pretended I was talking to someone when they'd hung up. And maybe the supervisor was listening into my call. And I was just...
Well, what did he say?
I was just saying, oh, yes, and now, are there any smokers in your household? Oh, terrific. Okay, I'll write that down. And just she came behind me and tapped me on the shoulder. I go, oh, sorry, I'm busy. I'm flat chat. I'm talking to someone. She said, Jane, I've been listening for the past 5 minutes. There's no one on the other end of the line.
What about my mate? My mate Renato. I've told the story before, but my mate Renato, who made out he was a doctor so he could get a seat at a restaurant. He'd go, because he was half an hour late. His girlfriend was going to break up with him and he begged her for one more chance. So he's turned up late and she goes, well, they've given our table away. He goes, I'll handle this. He goes, my name is Dr. Bartolomeo and I've been in surgery. And I can't believe you've given our table away.
Oh, my God.
They've gone, we're so sorry, sir, we'll find you something.
And they got
it. They go and find them at a table for two. They put them on the window. There's a road on the other side of the window. And just as he sits down, you hear, smash, car accident, door opens. Is there a doctor? is there a doctor in the house? He actually goes out. You can see him. No one was seriously hurt. But he starts taking a pulse when the ambulance comes and then ran down the road.
That's great.
Is a true story.
Hey, got anything like that up your sleeve?
Come on.
Give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3.
You're a bunch of cheats.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We're talking about people who have cheated in some way. This is all resulting in because a sommelier are very
bad
important,
for sommeliers.
I'm going to look
at all my sommeliers now like they're cheats. Oh, yeah. Is it? Who goes, oh, this is 1975. It's a cheat. Is it?
How do you
is
know?
Is it, mate?
Sure thing.
Not to my nose.
Is this from a cask? What's going on? We've got quite a few calls of people who've been
cheated at something.
Mischievous.
Good on them. It's to be encouraged.
Hello, Kim.
Hi.
Tell us your story.
Oh, I've got a friend. We're not friends anymore, but she worked her way around Canada and America. And there was an Australian wine promotion going on at Disney World.
Yeah.
And there were apparently some spies around just ensuring that people were spitting rather than swallowing. And we always knew she was a bit of a swallower. And she got busted for swallowing. She got escorted out like a criminal in Disney World.
Excuse me, ma'am. We're going to have to ask you to leave. We've been drinking the wine.
We're not. Yeah. He was drinking, yeah. But she was just supposed to be swirling it around the mouth and spitting.
You know when they got her, she tried to glass Goofy. And they went,
that was
okay,
a giveaway?
That's enough now. You
not that rough, but she was up, yeah. She was kind of embarrassed and looking down at the ground.
Thanks, right, Kim, for that, Tony.
G'day, how are you?
What did you do in year 11?
Look, I was sitting at an exam, and it was a religion exam, and there were five questions, and the first question was on page one, second question on the back of page one, third question on the front of page two,
yep,
et cetera.
And third question was on the third page, or fifth question on the third page. I didn't understand the fifth question, so I tore it off and took it out with me, and then I didn't do very well on the exam, and I went back to the teacher, because teachers love it when you ask them where you went wrong, and
sure.
I don't understand why I did so poorly. He said, well, let's have your exam. So he pulled out my exam and said, well, you didn't answer the fifth question. To us, it replied, what fifth question? And he said, oh, you didn't get it. So he remarked it all based on only answering four questions. And
hey, well done. You are
and
a
the
genius.
And the priest changed me from a fail to a pass.
Instantly.
You're going straight to hell, Tony. You're going, that
thanks,
was a religious
Tony.
Question. You're going straight to hell. See you there. Mel, what's going on? What did you do?
Well, it wasn't me. It was a guy I went to school with, and yeah. Another cross-country story.
Mm-hmm.
Our cross-country for school was on an army base,
yep.
And the guy I went to school with decided he would cut the corner and get ahead of everybody through really long grass.
Yeah.
And he got about halfway across the long grass, and an army dude jumped up in his camo gear with a gun and pointed at him and told him to go back.
Did it make him run faster?
Oh, I think he ran pretty quick in the
He would have run like the clapper.
They should put landmines in that area.
Good
that
Lord. Shortcut.
That would be good, Mel. Well done. Alan, come on. Boot it
yeah,
home, buddy.
I got caught.
What did you do?
I taped counterweight on the inside of my trouser leg.
Why? Why was this? Why were you
For
doing
weight
that?
Weight loss competition.
So you added kilos to your regular weight.
Yep.
And then what?
I had them taped and stuck inside my socks. And I carefully walked along and I got on the scales all right. And then as I got off, they came out.
Oh. So you sprung?
Yeah, they fell out.
They should have said, gee, the weight's just falling away.
What was the prize going to be?
Look at the weight I just dropped, you know.
Who was it for? What was it for?
It was a weight loss competition at work.
Oh, it works. Yeah. What was the prize,
you can't
Alan?
Do that.
Oh, just a free dinner out. I was probably at Weight Watchers or something like that.
Right, you can't Date be
with
doing
Jenny
that.
Craig.
Oh well, thank you, Alan. Thanks everyone
right,
for calling.
Well
You're
done.
A bunch of cheats,
yeah,
all of you.
I love our audience. You rotten bastard.
You dirty cheats.
Your new way to drive home.
Malloy. Well, thanks to Barbecues Galore, where some things are better low and slow.
Well done, Barbecues Galore, and I. You know, sometimes I.
You look bothered.
I am upset. I'm upset because Harry and Megan are out here. They're on a royal tour.
Yes.
We've taken them to some iconic Australian locations, Dubbo, Fraser Island, the big capitals. Why wouldn't you take them to Barbecues Galore?
Mick!
Why?
You're right.
Am I the only one thinking here?
You are the only one thinking. Come on.
They get out. They have a meet and greet. Everyone lines up out the front with barbecue tongs. You go into Barbecues Galore. They have a look. It's uniquely Australian. We give them a gift, don't we?
Of course we do.
We always give them a gift when they come here. A barbecue from Barbecues Galore.
Well,
which barbecue would you give them?
Well, I know when I was pregnant, what I was craving was low and slow cooked food.
She loved low and slow.
And I would go, where's the ProQ smoke? Careful. Where's the ProQ smoker?
That's how she got pregnant.
Hang on. And
The ProQ? Do you think she'd like the ProQ?
Yes, she would, because she'd like a bit of Australian lamb cooked low and slow.
Australian lamb, low and slow.
How could they get it so wrong?
In the ProQ smoker, you give it to Megan. They go home, bang, that thing's out the front of Buckingham Palace.
Yes. Totally. They're ordering a stack.
Yeah. Sausage sizzle.
Is that the low and slow sound?
It is.
It's more like this. Because it's low and slow.
It's more Alan Seal, that one.
Lace sprug and apris.
Why wouldn't you take them past?
I don't know.
Drop them off, meet and greet.
It's not too late.
Press the flesh.
Not too late. They can go around to a Barbecues Galore place anywhere in this country before they leave. They're one
Australian.
On the way to Fraser Island.
Yep.
You're thinking barbecues. You think Australia. Mm. You think barbecues. You think Barbecues Galore.
Yep.
Get your sorry butts down there,
Get your
Harry
smoking
and
happening.
And get
Come
your
on.
Smoking chaps on.
All right. Well, thanks to Barbecues Galore, which is the home of low and slow barbecue. Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, more after this.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Fashion news with Princess Jane.
Is this just like eating away at you?
I cannot get enough of this stuff.
You love it, don't you? You really do.
I'm going to talk about what Megan was wearing today because she had a dress change, which is very controversial.
Now, why does they do that often, don't they?
I don't think she does. Like, well, not when she's landed in Melbourne and she's got a sad old trench coat on covering up everything. And well, no, she was wearing a navy Dion Lee dress. Dion Lee is a very groovy brand, by the way.
Right.
It's very figure hugging. Mm-hmm. And all the pictures around the world were showing of her in Melbourne in her Dion Lee dress, but they're going, baby bumps shown for the first time. And I'm thinking she's gone, really? It does make me look a bit Chumbawamba. And you're very self-conscious when you're 12 weeks pregnant because it's just that awkward stage.
You're pregnant.
I know, but it's not like you're not quite pregnant. You're not quite there. It's just a bit weird. Anyway, so she went and had a change. She went to Melbourne's Charcoal Lane, a restaurant there, and she changed into another frock. That sort of looked similar, but not really. Right. She changed to a, for everybody listening, our Triple M listeners, it was a Club Monaco dress with gold buttons along one side. She ditched her Manalo Blahniks. I know you know what they are. Shoes.
Yep. And she's best gone. Earrings ever, mate.
She's gone for the flats because they went to South Melbourne to the beach to watch.
Did you put on Serena Williams, something from Serena Williams as well?
Yes, that was yesterday in Dubbo.
Was that the cat suit?
No.
Would have been good if she's wearing the cat suit.
Let's not start.
No, remember that? Let's not bring up the war.
Do you know what she should have worn?
This will be good. Yes, what, Mick?
The vulva scarf.
Oh, yes.
You know, the big...
I know. I know what it is.
On the...
Stop.
She looked good in a bit of labia. I don't even know what that is. I'm just saying.
It's just not a word that you want to bandy about. I'm just saying.
So what's she wearing right now?
She's wearing a Club Monaco black dress with gold buttons down the side.
And that's interesting because is that
Yes,
typical?
It's interesting.
Is that an expensive
because
brand?
Because guess what happens? They sell out.
I'm calm.
I am calm. Mm. They sell out in a flash.
Oh, so what she wears, people just race out.
Yes, because people are very dumb.
Do you know what? This is true.
What?
And because I once was Well, I was speaking to the Queen's milliner.
Actually, you know what? Sadly, that's true.
It is true. Ugh. He was out here for the Spring Carnival one year, and I was talking to him.
Right.
And I said, mate, whatever happened to hats, men's hats? Because men look awesome in hats. And I said, the 50s was probably the best look for men. Suits and hats, and everyone looked great. I said, what happened? He goes, it's really simple. Everyone wore hats. One day, Prince Philip walked out the front gate without a hat on, and overnight...
Killed a hat industry.
No kidding.
He killed the hat industry. He walked out one day, and everyone went, right then, and started not wearing hats.
Well, look,
and
my...
There it was.
Okay.
The high watermark of men's fashion.
Gone. Thank you, Mick, for that incredibly interesting information.
Well,
you surprise me.
You are just upset that I managed to contribute to your royal fashion
scene. I am, actually.
And pantaloons are coming back. Royal pantaloons will be...
Where did she get changed? In the Dunnies or something? Did she?
Yeah, what'd she do?
She went to the Dunnies and changed into a
She's
new
like a
outfit.
Royal Dana Ross.
Outfit changes are plenty.
Outfit changes are plenty.
So I swear, they've done the handbag as well. People are taking screenshots of a handbag and they're already sold out. That's some Gucci handbag or something.
Probably the one you got, the $10,000 handbag.
Oh, my God.
She's probably copied you. She's like, oh, my God, that looks expensive. I better go get myself one of those.
I'm going to say it again. I do not have a $10,000 handbag.
Come on, Jack.
I'll be watching tomorrow. Hey, let me just find out where they are tomorrow. I had a list. Oh, it's in my office. They're going to Fraser Island soon.
Okay. Fraser Island. What are they doing there, by the way?
Oh, driving along the sand and just checking it out. It's beautiful. I love Fraser Island. Do you know what I think she'll be wanting to do tonight? Sorry, Dave.
Yeah.
She wants to go home, take off her Manalo Blahniks, sit on the couch and watch Ozark, second series. Okay. That's what I'm guessing.
Can't do that on a royal tour.
I worked so hard.
Hey, pull your finger out. This is a job. Do it. You've only got one.
Our royal photos from our royal correspondent online at Kennedy Malloy as well. Hey, tomorrow, Julia Zemiro, Nick Cody. That's your Friday, Kennedy Malloy.
Good work, guys.
Now that your Kennedy Malloy catch-up is done, time to hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au for videos, tips and recipes to make your ribs, brisket or lamb delicious.